Hello, I'm Kimberly Dondo, Digital Content Manager, and welcome to In Conversation With, the podcast series that delves into the world of financial services and brings you face-to-face with some of the most notable figures in the industry. Listen as we discuss topics that are currently facing the industry and hear from visionary CEOs to disruptive innovators as we bring you a diverse array of voices and perspectives. We'll explore the challenges they faced, the lessons they've learned, and the insights they have to share about the ever-evolving landscape of financial services.
Hello, I'm Lois Vallely, Chief Reporter for Money Marketing, and on this episode, I'm joined by Amy Brown, who is Stewardship Lead at CCLA, and she's also the cousin of Money Marketing's editor, Tom. Hi, Amy. How are you?
Hi, Lois. I'm very well, thank you.
Good. Perhaps before we get into our conversation, you could start off by introducing yourself and saying a bit about how you got into the industry and what your role is at CCLA.
Yes, of course. So, Amy Brown. So, I am the stewardship lead at CCLA, and I will explain what stewardship means in a second because it's not always obvious. I have a background in managing money for charities, with about 14 years in the industry, and with 4 years now at CCLA in this role. So, what is stewardship? Like, what does it involve? Mm-hmm. So, stewardship. To me, and I would say this, is the way forward. I really think that it's getting to the point where it could be the vehicle through which we as an industry will finally be able to demonstrate the social utility of finance as a public good. So in practical terms, stewardship is about using your rights as an equity owner to improve business practices. So to improve the way that investee companies go about their business. So our engagement themes, so the themes that we run stewardship initiatives along the lines of, fit into three pillars, which we describe as better work, better health, and better environment. And at CCLA, given our heritage in the nonprofit sector, we aim to act as a catalyst for change on sustainability issues that haven't yet had the attention from investors that they deserve.
Okay, interesting. And I know you do quite a bit on mental health. So I just wondered if you could briefly explain how mental health fits within the broader sort of sustainable investment movement.
Yes, of course. It's not always obvious. So it's a very good question to start on. So sustainability, is widely sort of not so much misunderstood, but sort of conflated with terms such as ESG or ethics. Mm. And these terms can be very confusing. Sustainability at CCLA encompasses three very distinct areas. The first is aligning with clients' values. So that can involve ethical restrictions or belief-based restrictions. Assessing companies' extra financial risks to protect the value of portfolios. And acting as a catalyst for change, which is where our stewardship and engagement work comes in. Now, if you come from the starting point where, according to the FCA, 81% of investors want to do some good as well as provide a return with their investments, mm-hmm. This engagement work is not about restrictions, but it's about using our rights as shareholders via stewardship and engagement to drive positive outcomes. So how does this relate to mental health? So mental ill health really represents a financial risk to investors. We're in a terrible place in the UK. The stats are anything from 1 in 4 to 1 in 10 of us experiencing severe mental health problems. Mm. If you look at a global level, the World Health Organization tells us that there are 12 billion lost working days annually to mental ill health.
Wow.
In fact, that's not all mental health. That's depression and anxiety alone. And Deloitte has done a load of amazing work on this, but, you know, not least of which shows the financial cost to employers of mental ill health. And they boil it down to an average of £1,652. That's £1,652 per employee in the private sector every year.
Wow.
So showing just how much it's costing.
Definitely, yeah. That's crazy. I would not have guessed that.
But the good news is that actually, you know, there is a lot of data to show that in the long term, the most successful and competitive companies are those that have the best health and safety records and the most physically and mentally healthy workers. I mean, it sort of, it makes sense when you think about it like that. But if you were to put numbers on it again, Deloitte finds an average return of £5.30 for every £1 invested in workplace mental health interventions. So this is an optimistic story here, because as ultimate owners of listed companies, as the investors, we need to do what we can to reduce the burden of mental health related absenteeism, presenteeism, staff turnover, all of these things that add up to huge costs to businesses if they're not addressed.
Yeah, definitely. I wonder how much it's that people, like, that more people are experiencing mental health issues, and how much it's that people are just a lot more aware of. Because I know that from before, but certainly when lockdown happened 4 years ago now, isn't it, almost the day, that sort of kickstarted people being a lot more aware of mental health, because I know obviously lockdown affected lots of people's mental health. But yeah, it's an interesting one.
Well, all I was going to say, I mean, you're absolutely right. I mean, a lot of it, I mean, when I was growing up, you know, I remember overhearing my parents from time to time saying, oh, you know, so-and-so's had a mental breakdown, I think.
Yeah.
It wasn't really discussed back then. So it can only be a good thing that people are more comfortable bringing it out into the open. And, you know, not least in the working context, where it can be, it can be a tricky topic.
Yeah, definitely. So how have you worked, or how has CCLA and you worked to improve company performance?
So actually, your point on the pandemic is very relevant to the answer to that question, because the sort of kernel of this project began with the publication of the Thriving at Work review, which was commissioned by the government and published in 2017. The report was considered the first sort of deep dive view into the state of workplace mental health in the UK. And it came out with some recommendations for businesses. So beginning of 2019, we started to engage with a few companies that we own shares in along the recommendations of the Thriving at Work review. So very simple questions like, what are you doing to support the mental health of your employees? Do you have an employee assistance program? Do you consider mental health when you're designing your jobs for the people in your company? So quite basic questions. Then the pandemic comes along. And at the same time, actually, I think I joined CCLA 3 weeks before the first lockdown in the UK.
Oh, wow.
So the pandemic comes along, and my first task at CCLA is to go and write to the chief executive of every FTSE 100 company, urging those leaders to take steps to protect the mental health of their employees during the pandemic. So we did that. So we wrote to every chief executive of the 100 largest UK listed companies and chased them a few times, and eventually got 74 responses. Now, from those responses, it was very clear. The good news is that, you know, there was no lack of willingness to help. Like, these leaders knew there was a problem. They knew that their workforces were struggling, and they really wanted to help. And there was a lot of money going into initiatives to try and help people, which is great. But there was very, very little evidence of any strategy behind those initiatives, which means, you know, that actually as soon as, you know, our instinct here was that as soon as the pandemic falls away, then the focus on mental health will be lost. So it's not a sort of core business concern. And so we thought, well, how can we get this topic of mental health firmly on the business agenda? How can we pull the unique strings that we have as investors? How can we raise company performance. Because, you know, acknowledging that this isn't really a company specific problem, this is a systemic problem. Mm. I mean, it applies to every company with workers. And so we thought, well, how can we change the system? How can we change the accepted way in which business is done? So essentially, long and short of it is, we spent 2 or 3 years building what is really a league table, essentially. It's a league table, it's ranking. And what it does is we assess through an evaluation, we assess and compare companies on their approach to workplace mental health. So okay. The assessment is done, and then we rank companies into one of 5 performance tiers and publish it in the open. And thereby, you know, introducing a new element of competition into this area that, as you say, was historically hidden behind closed doors.
Yeah, no, that's great. Have you got any specific examples you could give us about any companies that you've engaged with to change?
Yes.
To improve in this area?
There are lots of examples. So at a very top level, so if we look at the sort of numbers overall, so 2023 was a very exciting year because it was the first time that we had reassessed companies. So assessed them for the second time.
Okay, yeah.
To see whether they were improving. And just also to mention that alongside the, you know, the sort of mechanics of assessing and comparing and ranking companies, we also underwent a very intensive engagement program. So writing letters to companies, explaining what we expect of them and, you know, bespoke recommendations that would hopefully help them along that improvement journey. So in 2023, we assessed 207 listed companies across a UK benchmark of UK listed companies and a global benchmark of the largest listed companies in the world. Mm-hmm. Of the 207, 119 of them engaged directly with us. So I spoke to 119 of those companies during the year. Having reassessed them, 42 companies had improved sufficiently to be able to move up one or more performance tier. And those 42 companies employed between them 7 million people across the world. So if I pull out some of these names, now these names that I'm going to say are not necessarily the top performers, they are the top improvers. These are the companies that improved based on our recommendations and our engagement. Mm-hmm. But companies, anything from Amazon to Walmart to JP Morgan, Morgan Stanley, NatWest, Whitbread, Roche, Novartis, Toyota, all of these companies, HSBC, all of these companies improved their approach. But what is quite interesting is, you know, is working out what motivates these companies to improve, because it's definitely not the same thing that motivating them all. Some of them are, you know, motivated, yes, by competition, by wanting to beat their peers, but other companies are motivated by completely, totally other things. So, for example, HSBC, when I was speaking to them, they said that there is a talent war out there. They said there is a talent war, a war on talent, and we mm-hmm. want to, I'm paraphrasing, I'm not actually quoting them, but they said something along the lines of, we want to make sure that we pull out all the stops to make sure that we are showcasing the support and the, you know, the good things that we do for our employees, but also our prospective employees, because we see mental health support as a key selling point in terms of trying to attract great new people to their business. If I look at a company like Weir Group, they said that very sadly there had been some suicides in their mining operations, and they took this as an opportunity to try and strengthen their approach, improve their management systems, their governance around mental health in the workplace. Morgan Stanley, Goldman Sachs, both very keen to be top of the banks, which is great. I'm very happy to encourage that friendly competition. And a company like Vodafone were very interested in the, you know, number of investors behind this, the engagement that we've had to date from other companies. And just, you know, they were very, it was very interesting how they really wanted to get a feel for whether this benchmark was going to stay and whether it was something that they should be taking seriously. So it's been a very interesting couple of years.
Mm. Yeah, definitely. It sounds like it. So would you, because I mentioned earlier, I feel like interest in, or sort of maybe awareness is a better word, of mental health issues has massively increased since COVID-19. It seems like, certainly anecdotally among my friends, they're much more aware of mental health as a thing, and among employees as well. But would you say investors care about mental health? And do you agree? Do you think interest in mental health has grown, both generally and from an investment perspective?
Yes, I'd say generally, as you said, I mean, similar to you, I hear many more people talking about it. I hear a lot of people talk about it to me because they know what I'm doing at my job. So I'm not sure quite how representative that is necessarily. But to your question on whether investors care, I would say emphatically yes. And the reason is because we have a way of quantifying this, in fact. So we, after we launched the first UK benchmark, so back in June 2022, we started to build a support for a global investor statement on workplace mental health. Now, signatories to this statement become part of an investor coalition that is coordinated and run by me, by CCLA. And this investor coalition has grown and grown. And today has 52 investor signatories across 8 countries, I think, with a combined $8.7 trillion in assets under management, which so far outweighs the assets that CCLA manages itself, which shows that, you know, the influence that this group of investors has now is really massive. When we had another exciting joiner today, which hasn't quite been announced, but that another huge major investor joined that coalition today. But the sort of the beauty of that coalition as a mechanism to drive positive change is that when we write to companies after a benchmark is launched, we write to every company, we write to those companies setting out the expectations of investors, bespoke recommendations, and, you know, encouraging companies to look at this and to speak to us if they'd like to have a meeting to learn more. But that letter comes from CCLA, yes, but on behalf of the Global Investor Coalition on Workplace Mental Health, which is now 52 investors with $8.7 trillion in assets under management. So as this grows and grows organically over time, it's much, much more difficult for companies to ignore. And we are seeing more and more businesses coming forward and requesting time and meetings with us to see how they can improve.
Excellent. That's great. Just to be clear, we're recording on the 26th of March. It might not be today when this podcast comes out, but 26th of March. So how, because obviously most of our listeners are financial advisors.
Yes.
How is all of this relevant to financial advisors?
So, as obviously you'd expect me to say, it is hugely relevant to financial advisors, but I'm going to substantiate that with some reasons, with some evidence. So obviously it's something to be aware, not only something to be aware of in your day-to-day interactions, maybe your interactions with your clients, but also a topic that financial advisors, in their capacity as investors indirectly, can do something about. So CCLA recently launched something called Advisor Action, which is designed to essentially help to address the gap between financial advisors and their assets under advice. So financial advisors, while they've played a very key role, of course, in promoting the development of sustainable finance, the structure of the industry has made actual engagement with investee companies almost impossible because it's sort of several steps removed. So the idea of Advisor Action is to change that, to allow or to enable advisors to get involved in direct engagement. And I know that the group is starting its venture into direct engagement on the topic of mental health. So it's a small group at the moment. I know that more advisors have joined and that they will be announced soon.
Excellent. And how can financial advisors get involved then?
Well, I think get in touch. Please get in touch with us. We'd love to meet you. And we could take it from there.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much, Amy. That's probably all we've got time for this episode, but it was really great to talk to you. I really enjoyed it. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you very much for having me. It was great to chat.
Thank you for listening to In Conversation With. We do hope that you enjoyed it. Please do keep up to date with all our new releases via Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and everywhere else you get your podcasts from. You can also keep up to date with all our new content published on the Money Marketing website, as well as our print edition Money Marketing magazine. So make sure to subscribe. Follow us on Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram. See you next time.